And now your speaker, Morgan Medlin.
The Scripture teaches that there are needs of the church, of every congregation. In fact, one congregation to whom Jesus spoke through John being the writer, Revelation 3:17, was Laodicea in Asia Minor. That church said, "We're rich, increased of goods, and we have need of nothing." They didn't realize their needs, but they were present. Every church has needs. And as long as time lasts, as long as the church continues to serve, it'll have needs. Anything that is living and anything that is growing has needs. It's after something is dead or inoperative that it has no needs. And so the church of our Lord has needs. It'll continue to do so as long as it exists. Ephesians 5, verse 25. "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it, that He might present it unto Himself a glorious church, not having spots, wrinkle, blemish, or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish." The church is important. Isn't anything upon this planet that is more important than the church? It is, as Paul said, the pillar and the ground of the truth. We have many fine organizations in our world that minister to many needs, but the church is the pillar and the ground of the truth. It is that place that has a soul-saving, redemptive message. And it is the only thing in this world that does. But in order for the church to be that for which Jesus died and to accomplish the mission that our Lord desires, there are some needs that must be met on the human side. We studied last Sunday the need of adequate leadership. No organization, including the church, is going to be stronger or better than its leadership. Leadership is important. And there's always the crying need of continuing to emphasize leadership. It doesn't matter how strong or sound or solid leadership may be today. There must be those programs initiated in order that this may continue to be true in days to come. As was announced earlier in this service, this week on Saturday, the bus will be going, and we are encouraging all of the elders and deacons who can possibly do so to attend this special activity in Murfreesboro where some good and qualified men will be speaking on the subject, the responsibilities, and the opportunities for elders and deacons. And I hope that a number of men will be going who are not serving presently in that capacity, even men who may never serve in that capacity, could benefit from such messages as will be delivered on Saturday. because I'm sure that it will cause a deeper and a better understanding on the part of each one of us toward those who serve in that or in those capacities. And so I hope that several of our fine men will be able to go on Saturday. And if you can possibly do so, then let it be known, in order that we can let them know by Wednesday. Call the church office if you're able to go and be a part of that activity and hear the things that will be said. I believe if one does, there will be benefit derived. And we need to continually and constantly be encouraging our leadership. Because regardless of today, we must think in terms of tomorrow and the tomorrows to come, realizing that this church and no congregation is going to accomplish what God intends for it without adequate leadership. It's crucial. It's important. It doesn't matter how wonderful the divine side is, unless there is the leadership to lead it in the direction where it needs to go. Leadership, of course, is to be exactly what that word suggests. Proverbs 29, verse 18, where there is no vision, the people perish. In John 10, the shepherd leads the sheep. He goes before them, and they hear his voice and follow him. Leaders, of course, are those who are always, always out front. It's a sad, sad situation any time a congregation's fellowship gets ahead of its leadership. And sadly to say, sometimes this situation exists. It should never. Leadership is a wonderful opportunity for service. Those in that position need to keep in mind that great leader of God's people of centuries ago, Moses, of whom it was said in Numbers 12:3 that Moses was the most humble, meek man upon the face of the earth. Leadership carries with it humility, not arrogance of where I am or what I am, but humility, a humility that says, Lord, I realize that I've been called, I've been led into a great service, and humility seeks to discharge that responsibility in such a way pleasing to God. I talked with an elder not too many weeks ago, not in this community, another county here in our state, but a marvelous, a fine man, and in that church, they had recently appointed an additional man as an elder. This man who had served in that capacity for several years said to me, he said, I've never seen anything go to a person's head like that has. Well, you know, that's not what Scripture teaches. That's about like a person getting on the police force, and because he's able to carry a gun, he thinks he can just be, you know, a big bully over everybody. Have you seen that sometimes happen with a new policeman? Now, don't misunderstand me. I'm not indicting the police force. But I'm saying sometimes a position, you know, can go to somebody's head. And that's what that elder was talking about. Service is the thing that counts. It's not a Simon Legree kind of thing. You're familiar, I'm sure, with Harriet Beecher Stowe's great work, Uncle Tom's Cabin. And Simon Legree was the man that cracked the whip of all the slaves. That's not what Scripture teaches. It's that humility that Moses possessed that made him a great leader. And I say today, that's the same trait, that's the same mark that'll make a person in God's service as an elder, a great leader, humility. Thankful and honored and yet humble because of the position he's in and discharging that responsibility. But today we're concerned primarily about noticing together that it's not just enough to have leadership. That's great and wonderful. But in addition to having adequate leadership, there must be faithful followers. I believe that a lot of people can adequately serve as a great and good leader if they have good followers. But I don't care how good, how talented an eldership is, if it does not have good followers, it's not going to accomplish God's work and fulfill God's will. There must be proper, adequate followers. You heard the text earlier in our service today from Numbers 16, 2, 3, 11, and verse 32. Of course, we cannot notice all of the particular teaching that's found in that chapter. But that second verse tells us that 250 men, princes, men of renown, as some translations translate it, 250 men in the congregation of Israel that rose up against Moses and against Aaron. They were those that God had commissioned to lead His people. Moses to go down along with Aaron and lead the people out of Egyptian slavery bondage. But after they came out of Egypt, there were those that murmured against Moses and against Aaron. They said, "You take too much upon you, seeing that all the congregation is holy, and you exalt yourselves among the people." And this hurt the heart of Moses. Moses, many, many times in his great life, fell on his face and prayed to God when the people murmured and they complained and they grumbled, as they did on this occasion. You remember Moses said, "Let's gather together and let the Lord make the decision as to who is holy." And in that 32nd verse, on that said occasion, the Bible says that the earth opened and swallowed them up, and everything that appertained to them, and closed again. It was like probably something on the order, maybe in miniature, but like Grand Canyon. Only the earth opened and then it closed again. Swallowed them up and everything that belonged to them. Closed again. Terrible fate. A terrible fate to those who murmured and who grumbled and who complained. No, We're not going to have a giant earthquake today just because people grumble and complain and fail to follow leadership regardless of how adequate they be. But all kinds of problems come. I know that the Lord despised murmuring back then, and I'm sure that He does today. In Numbers 14, verse 2, when the report had come back concerning the land of Canaan, how great it was, and the Lord had said, I've given you this land, go in, it's yours. The majority of the spies said, it's a beautiful land, but it can't be ours because there are giants in that land, the problems are too great, and we're like grasshoppers. Oh, so many times we let ourselves have a grasshopper complex. We in the church will sometimes, we can't do this and we can't do that. We can't do something else. We're not smart enough. We're not rich enough. We're not this or that or the other. And we come up with all kinds of this can't and that can't. I'm not talking about prohibitions that are listed in God's Word. But I'm simply saying we put ourselves down so often, so many, many times. This is what they did, and they murmured. They said to Moses, Aaron, why didn't you leave us back in Egypt? And they said, let's get us a leader and let's go back there. Why bring us out here in this wilderness to die? The Lord was so disgusted in verses 30, 31, and 32 of Numbers 14. He said, all of those who have murmured shall not enter in that promised land. All those who have murmured will die out here in the wilderness, except Joshua and Caleb, two men. He said, your little ones shall go into the land and enjoy it. But you don't know because you murmured. In Numbers 2:32, there were 603,550 men of 20 years and upward were able to serve in war. And out of that 603,000 550, only two of those men, Joshua and Caleb, entered the promised land. Only two of them. All the rest, more than 500,000, died out there in the wilderness because they murmured, because they complained. It's serious business with God. Old Testament is so full of many events like this that tell us how serious it is to murmur. Come into the New Testament in James 5:9. Do not grumble, brethren, one against another, lest you be condemned. Do not grumble. Murmur, complain, brethren, against one another, lest you be condemned. It's important, isn't it? But it's an easy thing. It's an easy thing for the church to be today like the Israelites centuries ago, to grumble, to murmur, to complain at any program or anything that's done. Paul says in Philippians 2:14, do all things without murmuring. All things without murmuring. But oh, how easy. How easy it is to get in such a frame of mind. Hebrews 13:17, obey them that have the rule over you, for they watch for your souls, as they must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable unto you. Someday, some elders are going to have to give an account for all of us. That is, those under whom we are under their leadership. Give an account. They're not responsible for what we do because we're free moral agents, but they must give an account. Obey them that have the rule over you. How are we good followers? Are we good followers? Sometimes someone will come up and say, well, you know, I don't like everything the church does. Well, let me say to you, my friend, you probably don't like everything you do. If anybody in this audience always likes everything you do, you tell me, I want to meet you. I don't think I've really met anybody probably like that. We don't even like our own actions sometimes. We say things sometimes that we wish we'd bitten our tongue half and two. Don't we? I think most of us do if we're honest and sincere. So this idea that I cannot go along, I can't support because I don't like everything. I don't like everything the church does. And somebody kind of gives an impression or thinks, I guess, that gives them a license to just fail today. It doesn't. We're citizens of this country, of the USA. We file our income tax. We pay our taxes. But now, they don't say, now, if you like everything they're doing up in Washington, you pay your taxes. If you don't, forget about it. Oh, that's not the way it's done, my friend. There may be a lot of things we don't like, a lot of things that if we were in the position of leadership in Washington, we'd change. But that still doesn't nullify the fact that we're citizens of this country and we have our obligation. Now, we're citizens of God's spiritual kingdom, members of His church. And there's not any place in God's Word that said, now, if you agree with everything, or if it's just the approach that you take, then go along, follow. But if not, don't. No, the Scripture doesn't say that. And I believe when we take that kind of approach, it's just a cop-out. It's just a cover-up. It's just a pure cop-out. We love the Lord. We love His cause. We love His kingdom. It's not on the basis of our agreeing with everything that's done. We're concerned about His cause and we want to support it. We want to encourage it. I believe that's the best way to get even better and greater leadership is to be enthusiastically supporting leadership we have. I believe elders will work themselves almost to death when they're complimented and encouraged. As somebody said, if a congregation has a preacher they don't like, encourage him and support him. And they'll get rid of him. He'll preach himself to death, or he'll do such a bang-up job that some other church will be interested in him and he'll go on to greener pasture or whatever. So it'll work either way. I think that's pretty true. I think that's true of elders if they're encouraged and supported. If we follow the leadership of those who are leading us, they don't mind at all to launch out on greater and newer programs and increase the budget. They don't believe that those things are the law of the Medes and Persians can't be changed. They'd be glad to do so. we'd just rally with them in encouragement and in support. And oh, that's what's needed. That's what's needed. Following a good fellowship. Every church needs those who are good followers. We can't all be leaders, but we can be followers. And that's so crucial and that's so important. I hope you have been. And I hope you'll continue to be even as never before, that you will be a good, good follower and encourage and support all the programs of the work. But so many times we see so many in the church. They follow the things they like or the things they approve and they wash their hands the other. If you don't think that's true, look at church attendance anywhere. Sunday night, Wednesday night, and see how many people came Sunday morning and how many people came Wednesday night and Sunday night. And you'll see how well people are following. Those services were set up by the leadership. And some of us decide it's optional whether we care about attending or not. Same thing's true with Bible school. And so when we talk about needs of being good followers, brethren, we're talking about something that really is real. We're talking about something where the rubber really meets the road in the advertisement some time ago. Followership. So crucial, so needed. Somebody said that a mule can't pull while kicking and can't kick while pulling. I believe that's true. I believe that creature is not going to pull anything, anywhere, as long as it's kicking. It just can't pull while kicking or kick while pulling. And I don't think people accomplish very much either, of murmuring and complaining and grumbling and griping. Now, I don't know if any of us are like that. But to the degree that we are, let's say, Lord, help me to change that. And in the words of the song, the Lord's still working on me. I'm glad He's not given up. I'm glad He's still working on us. And He's giving us a chance to make ourselves better and to serve Him more faithfully. If you're subject to the Lord's invitation, won't you do so? Won't you come today repenting of your sins, confessing the name of Jesus, repenting, being baptized, then living for the Lord? If you've obeyed the gospel, you've wandered away, you haven't been true to your commitment, come back in repentance and prayer. If you're a member of the body of Christ but not of this congregation, then we would invite you to come and be a part of this congregation, of God's family, God's work. Everybody needs a church home. One of the worst things in all the world is those who claim to be Christians and just float. Just float around. I'm afraid it's so far true, brethren, I don't mean to be ugly. But I'm afraid in the spiritual kingdom, it's just about like in the natural kingdom. Found out a long time ago, when a fish floats, it's dead. And I'm afraid, brethren, if they just float around, no responsibility, no commitment anywhere. If they're not spiritually dead, they're not faithful to the Lord as He wants them to be. And so you need a church home, and you need to be an active participant in the Lord's family, in a church, in a local congregation. Here or somewhere, active and committed in the Lord's service. You're responsive. We hope you'll be responsive to the Lord's invitation. Pray that you will, if you're subject to it.